Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. We are always glad when you join us here. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you're welcome to do so. Phone number is as follows, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. I don't need to tell you that January can be a bit dreary at times. The weather is frequently not very good. The days are short anyway, and the Christmas cheer is gone. I mean, sure, there are still lights up in places, fewer all the time, but the Christmas trees are mostly gone by now. We pay good money for them, rearrange our houses for them, sing songs to them, and by early January, they're toast. Not literally, we hope. Fear of fire is one good reason for taking down a real Christmas tree. If you leave it out for somebody else to take care of, where does it go? We can put that question and others to the people who pick up Christmas trees. Boy Scouts and other groups do the work. Scouts and Lions Club volunteers will pick up trees in Ashland tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 3:30 in the afternoon. John Engelhart is a Scoutmaster with Troop 112 of the Boy Scouts, and he's our guest here in the studio today. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So let's talk. You've been doing this for how many years yourself?
This is my fourth year.
Mm-hmm. And how many years for Christmas tree collections with the Scouts, a little more back in history?
This is our 28th year of doing the recycling of trees.
Mm-hmm. And how did that all get started? Do you have a history lesson there?
Well, it turns out that about the mid-80s, the Scouts were looking for a fundraising project. They were sponsored by the Lions Club. And one of the Lions Club members, Jerry Sessions, mentioned that back where he came from, the Scouts collected trees, and that was a way to help citizens get rid of trees, but also a fundraiser for the Scouts. And sort of in conjunction with that, the Scouts used to take some hikes up in the above town and noticed that a lot of trees were being dumped by the side of the road up there, which creates a hazard in and of itself. So it started out about 1986, I think, was the first pickup of trees. They weren't recycled that first time. They mm-hmm. went. They were actually taken to the dump. But shortly after that, the recycling began.
And so in Ashland's case in particular, I noticed that there were other pickups that tend to happen around that first weekend, that first full weekend in January. And this one is actually happening on the 11th of January. Is there an Ashland-specific reason why it's later than some others?
You know, we sort of look at the calendar each year and decide, but so close to the first. Last year, we picked up about 70 trees after our tree cycle day because some folks just like to keep them up through, you know, Epiphany or so forth. So we looked at the calendar to decide this would be a better time to do it this year.
All right. True. If you celebrate all 12 days of Christmas, your Christmas tree is going to be up through the 5th of January anyway.
Yeah.
Keep it to the Feast of the Epiphany on the 6th, and so here you are with the first weekend after that. How many people does it take to pull off the campaign? And, you know, 9 to 3:30 is the pickup time, but, I mean, how
it's
comprehensive is the work within that window?
We'll have about 90 people participate all together, and that's it's split. You know, we have about 26 or so Scouts who are going to participate tomorrow. We'll have about that many Lions Club members and about that many parents or adult Scout volunteers like myself. And then we have 4 Parks and Rec crew folk who will be helping out. So all together, that's the size of the group for tomorrow.
And how many trees are you likely to pick up? I mean, you have some numbers on previous years, obviously.
We're expecting between 1,100 and 1,200. Last year was about 1,125 altogether. And some of those were after the fact. And some of those I'm sure we didn't even get a count of. But, yeah, that's what we were to count.
So any idea of how many, what percentage of Christmas trees in Ashland does that represent?
Don't really have a handle on that one. I know some folks have artificial ones. Some folks cut them up and put them in their green lawn bin. Some go places I don't even know, but I don't have a handle on that.
You made the mistake of telling me before you retired you were a mathematics and statistics professor, so I was looking for some numbers you might have had there.
Not those numbers. I had other numbers, but not those.
All right. So over the course of the time, then, you got 90 people then. I mean, how many different vehicles does it take to pull all this together, and where are people supposed to be leaving their trees?
So first off, we have probably 25 trucks, some with trailers that will be going around the city. We divide the city up into about 32 routes, so we cover the whole city of Ashland. We'll just be driving through. And we ask folks to leave their trees by the curb pretty visible so that sometimes behind a parked car it's hard to see these. So just try and make them visible. And we'll typically make 2 runs through a neighborhood because sometimes we'll go through, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and somebody runs out afterwards with a tree and we're already by. So we make a second pass later on through the day, which is why we ask folks just to kind of wait till mid-afternoon before they call and say, you missed my tree.
Okay. But the better bet then is to have it out at the curb by tonight?
By Friday night, yeah.
All right. Any particular time you'd like, just as people can use for, you know, it's sort of like the old TV ads. So you don't forget, call before midnight tomorrow.
Yeah, just as long as it's out tonight, that's great. We really, 9 o'clock is the earliest where we actually be getting out. We meet at Hunter Park at the Senior Center there. That's kind of our logistics operation headquarters, and we take off from there.
John Engelhardt's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a scoutmaster with Troop 112 in Ashland. We're talking about Christmas tree pickups, and we'll get into where Christmas trees go when we are done with them in just a few moments here. You can join us on the Exchange. Perhaps you've done some interesting things with Christmas trees over the years after you're done with the ornaments and the lights. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. So Hunter Park is your gathering area early in the day, and then you go and pick up the trees, 11 or 1,200, you say, and then where do you take them?
So primarily we base the drop-off, if you will, by the parking lot in Hunter Park toward the back there by the bicycle path. Parks and Rec, Ashland Parks and Rec, has donated the use of their chipper and for their staff people. So when our drivers come in with a load of pickup trees, they're just put into the chipper at that point, which produces a huge mound of chips back there. And basically those chips will stay in that mound for a while. And as the Park Service uses them for their trails, they will collect them and put them on their trails all throughout the city.
When you say huge mound, I mean, how big are we talking here?
Let's see. I would say the mound is about 6 to 7 feet high, about 15 feet across, something like that.
So how much in a way of a chip pile will a single Christmas tree produce? I mean, Christmas trees are mostly air. I mean, all the space between the branches and
all. Not a huge pile, but, you know, we're looking at 1,200 trees here, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll be a big pile then. So then where does all that stuff go? I mean, it doesn't obviously go all at once from what you're saying.
Over the course of the next several months, the Parks Department will use their vehicles and distribution, go around to the trails around Ashland, and particularly the trails. You know, for some, it could be used for weed abatement, but it's primarily trail chips. Helps with compaction, and it helps with erosion control, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So for people to make sure the trees are recyclable, there are obviously some preparation steps to take. I mean, you probably don't want to have tinsel still left in the trees, I'm thinking.
It does happen, but we would appreciate that all the ornaments are off. We can't deal with stands, so make sure the stands are taken off. Don't worry about chopping it up. We'll basically take the whole tree at that point. We have a couple people who strip down the wreaths and take the wire rims off, things like that, the plastic rims. So we can do that, but that's about the extent of the stuff that we should be taking.
All right, so make sure everything's off then.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss
that. We occasionally have a cute little ornament or two that, you know, we wind up donating somewhere.
I'm not surprised. It always seems like they show up when the tree gets sideways or upside down. You see the ornament you missed when you were taking everything
exactly.
off the tree. And you don't want to leave that heirloom ornament from your great-grandmother hanging out there on the curb. The process, then, of the pickup, I mean, trees don't weigh terribly much, but it sounds like you guys are working pretty hard over the course of these hours between 9 and 3:30.
It's a pretty full day, and we have a lunch crew that prepares a really nice lunch for all the workers. We'll have a driver. Sometimes it's a driver and a scout. And if the driver is a person who's not particularly going to be suited to be picking up the trees, we'll have another adult along to do that part. So basically, two or three will go out in a vehicle, and the adult or two adults, if there are, will load the trees into the trailer or the truck. The scout would go up to – they can identify the residence where the tree came from. They go up to the resident and just mention that, you know, we picked up your tree. If you'd like to donate for that, that's great. And if they're home and do that, the scouts will all be in uniform for one thing, and they'll all have an envelope with a little bit of information on the troop. If folks are not home, we have a rubber banded envelope we'll just leave on the door and leave it to them if they want to make a donation that way.
Is there a suggested donation, a general level you encourage or hope to
we
get?
Pretty much leave it to them, but you know, we go from a few dollars to $20, and we actually have every year somebody who, a couple of folks who donate like $100 just because they like the scouts. You know, most of the checks are like the $10, $15, $20 range. Folks give $20 or more. If we can identify where it came from, we'll send them a nice little thank you.
I have noticed that sometimes people leave the Christmas trees out with it. It looks like an envelope actually banded to the tree. I imagine you'd prefer check and not cash in that circumstance, or is that not even a good idea?
You know, it's just not a good idea. That tends to a lot of times disappear before we ever get there. So if folks really are not going to be around, or they know that they can't tell that it came from their house or something like that, you know, our post office box is 839. It's Troop 112, post office box 839. And that's just the safest way to get us a donation.
Do you get to compare notes with other cities about things that work well and don't work well on the Christmas tree collection and recycling process?
You know, we've kind of refined this over the years, and it works pretty well. It's, you know, it's a relatively small town, cohesive. We got nice agreement, cooperation. So we've kind of, from what I understand, we've kind of just developed it on our own.
All right. It is, you know, you mentioned it's a relatively small town, fairly compact, but still 22,000 people and a lot of streets. So, I mean, this is how many miles are you going to run up on these trucks and people over the course of this Christmas tree pickup?
Well, you know, I would guess, and it's totally just thinking off the top of my head, thought, you know, maybe 10 miles per driver kind of thing. But we got, as I said, probably 20 drivers, 25 max. And some will, you know, be picking up rental units and the trailers and things like that and coming back in the town with those.
Ah, okay. So there are some expenses incurred by the people who are volunteering.
And we'll reimburse them for those if they want, you know. Yeah.
We're talking about Christmas tree pickup and recycling. Maybe you have some ideas about good ways to use Christmas trees or ways you've used them over the years. John Engelhardt is our guest, a scoutmaster with Troop 112 in Ashland, where there's a pickup on Saturday between 9 in the morning and 3:30 in the afternoon. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or at 541-552-6782 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. John, have you ever been overwhelmed? I mean, have you had just more trees than you knew what to do with and had to make maybe a third pass through a neighborhood or something like that?
Well, by the time 3:30 rolls around, you know, we've had at least two runs through neighborhoods. But as I said, Daryl Group Hay has been sort of the point person for this since probably 1997. And he gets phone calls from folks for whom we missed their tree. So he'll go out the next week or get a couple folks to help him out and go pick up another 60 or 70 trees.
Really? So the following weekend then?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We really do like to get them all on the first day, but it just doesn't happen. So
how did the whole operation get set up with the mulching of the trees, though, with the chipping them into stuff that is useful for trails and things like that? Because, I mean, as you mentioned years ago, this was not the thought of.
Well, this is a nice little story because Dwight Barber is a former scout leader here, and he was probably one of the first ones to help with the organization of this. And as I mentioned, the first year or so, they actually took the trees to the dump. And his daughter, Angela, was thinking, you know, that's really a waste. There's got to be a better way to deal with this. And so a little bit of prodding on that. Dwight was driving through Lithia Park one day and noticed that the Parks Department had a chipper back there and kind of put two and two together and asked for that volunteer cooperation. And they were happy to do it. It actually saves the city a little bit of money because they get free chips in that sense. And it's just a whole lot of less waste for the landfill. It's kind of like a four-way win because citizens get rid of trees, the scouts do a service, get some donations to help with their projects. The landfill doesn't have all these trees dumped in it, and the parks get some free chips out of it.
And plus the stuff is good mulch. I mean, it'll be used again. How much does this bring in as a fundraiser for the scouts?
Between the range would be 6,000 to 8,000 in terms of, you know, over the years, it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really not too bad then, is it?
And it's a great for a one-day fundraiser. And frankly, all the money is just poured right back into activities for the scouts. You know, for their part, we pay for half of their summer camp expenses, and we set aside a stipend for a high adventure trip, and we typically do those about every 4 years. So for tomorrow, for a scout working, half of summer camp could be as much as $150 and a stipend of $125. So it's well worth their time to participate in that. And the money, as I said, just all goes back to expense for the trips for the boys.
Is there something of a closed loop? In other words, are these same chips going to be seen again, perhaps, in the lives of some of these scouts as they're doing things like doing trail refurbishing or anything like that?
That's possible. That's possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it fun? I mean, it seems like it's a lot of work, but it seems like it's fairly enjoyable as well.
It really is. It's a fun gathering day to get everybody to working. It's kind of like just a huge participatory project. And I've had actually one of the dads who's a scout leader now said, you know, last year was my first year doing this, and he did it with his son. And he just had a blast doing it. And, you know, we just get a lot of good laughs out of it. And you know, some weird stories about, you know, people, certain trees falling off of a truck here and being picked up, things like that. So, yeah.
So you've had truck B pick up the stuff that fell off of truck A?
Yes, yeah.
All right. With any large-scale operation, that is bound to happen, involving a lot of volunteers. So trees need to be out preferably by tonight. They'll be picked up starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in Ashland, and the pickup should be done by 3:30 in the afternoon.
That's our plan.
All right. And if people want to send the donations, and you said P.O. Box 839 Ashland?
Correct.
Okay, we'll make sure that gets on Facebook later in the day.
Well, thank you.
John Engelhardt is with Troop 112 in Ashland and is a scoutmaster. We're talking about the Christmas tree pickup for Saturday. John, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Bottom of the hour on the Exchange, here is Garrison Keillor.